Hey, this is Nick from Chick Chick Chick, and you're listening to Sound Session.
Remember when I called you on the telephone? You were so far away. It was raining in New York, did I forget to say?
Welcome back to another episode of Sound Sessions. This is Kevin on behalf of Sound Sessions, and I'm lucky enough to be joined by Nick Offer, lead singer, founding member of funk mega group, I would call him, Chick Chick Chick. Nick, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I know you, let's see, you started Chick 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 in 96, if I'm not mistaken, correct? And you were the founding member?
Yes.
So when you started this out, what was your grand vision for Chick Chick Chick? And has it kind of gotten to where you expected it to, or has it succeeded your expectations?
It certainly exceeded our expectations. I mean, we really just wanted a group that we just wanted to play funk and get lost. And we kind of thought that we would just like tour around and play in our friends' basements at punk shows. That was the grand vision. And we certainly got lost, but we've certainly toured more than basements at this point.
Yeah, I would say so. This is a good opportunity for me to bring up that you guys are going to be in Chicago on November 21st at the Lincoln Hall. So I will definitely be there. I've seen you guys a few times. Last time I saw you, you were on tour with Holy Fuck, I believe. And maybe it was either them or Dub Trio, but it was just an incredible show. Such a good blend of musicians. And what you guys bring on stage is just energy. It's sound is spot on. Really, really a great show.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's get into the new album, As If. I feel like there's a bit of a different sound going on here. I mean, I know you guys always kind of have that funk sound going. You always kind of have that electronic influence. I feel like you guys delved a little bit more into the electronic side and almost elements of disco, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, disco's always been there for us. And, you know, we've always, like, there's always been an aspect that we've tried to bring into the group, and it's kind of like, you know, we're always just trying to do something that grooves, and we kind of you find yourself there sometimes, you know. It's, and also I feel like in this one it was definitely like more of an electronic one this time. You know, I feel like any band that ages just adds more electronics as they get older, and so with this one we were kind of like trying to come to it. We kind of came back to disco via house because we were kind of trying to get to this kind of like 90s records where they sampled the disco record and kind of thrown a kick drum underneath it. So we were kind of like, well, let's just kind of sample ourselves and throw a kick drum underneath it. And so in a weird way, we ended up back at disco. It was kind of a strange thing to happen to us. But we were trying to do house.
Yeah, and that's actually, I'm glad you brought that up because it's definitely got that strong house focus too. I definitely picked that up. It's really great though. I mean, I listened through and I really, really enjoy it.
Cool, thanks. Yeah. No, we're proud of it.
Good, I'm glad. So talk about the writing process of this album, I guess. I know before you guys had secluded yourselves. I'm not sure which album this was for, but you secluded yourselves in a house. I remember reading something about like a judo dance warm-up or something like that.
Right. But that wasn't this time. This one we were, you know, it was a bit like, it was definitely a house record in that it was kind of like, you know, a lot of like, you know, Raphael shows up at my house once a week and we kind of like trade laptops and go back and forth on, you know, I look at the tracks he's been working on and vice versa. And we kind of just get in there and we kind of like try to keep it like a Lennon and McCartney on Ableton kind of a thing. And then, you know, and then also I'll go out to, you know, California and then jam with Mario on a lot of stuff. And then kind of like, you know, we still rely a lot on jamming. You know, we brought the band out and jammed a bunch on that and worked a bunch of those loops in. So, I mean, we try to have, you know, there's a lot of creative minds in the group and we try to kind of like utilize all of them and make all the different kind of like variations of those people happen, you know, so there's many styles to the record. And so the record doesn't become too samey, you know?
Yeah. And so when you guys are recreating this live, are there elements of jamming going on, or is it you just kind of playing what you got on the record, or what can we expect in a live setting?
There's both. There is parts where we can kind of like, there's certainly parts where we can open up and stretch out. And you know, there's parts that are kind of like, you know, in the kind of like strict, kind of pop structure, but there's definitely freedom within that even, you know, you try to keep both aspects into it.
Sure. Yeah. No. It's like I said, it's great. And seeing you guys live that one time, I had a great time. It's a great show. Can you talk about Stereo Lad? I read on your website that this is maybe a side project of yours, and then you're going to be opening up your shows with Stereo Lad.
Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah. It was just kind of like a thing. You know, it's like that whole thing of, you know, like the Beatles could, you know, play 8 hours a night of covers, and, you know, and I think that's like, you know, it's like a good way to cut your teeth and expand your chops, and, you know, it's like kind of like studying songwriting.
Sure. And for reference, this is a Stereo Lab tribute band.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, so that's what it kind of felt like. It was like, well, you know, because we wanted something that was kind of like, we didn't, you know, if we just got up there and jammed on Kool and the Gang songs, we think would sound too much like us, you know.
Sure.
It'd be like too long a night of Chook Chook Chook. But we felt like we did something like completely different than us, and we'd maybe be able to get away with it.
Sure.
So it just seemed like kind of like a fun thing.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to check it out. That's awesome. And is that going to be exhausting for you for performing twice in one night?
You know, I don't think so. You know, we used to do it all the time where I would tour with Chook 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 and I'd play two sets. So, I mean, I'm older than that, but I don't think that much older. I think we should be fine.
Well, good.
I mean, I feel more alive, you know, when you're playing it. I mean, we just did a gig in Tokyo where we, you know, we're completely jet lagged. We played two shows in one night and then we DJed. So, I think we can do it.
Power to you, man. Yeah, talk about that a little bit. You just mentioned Outhood. Now I know that, which came first, Outhood or Chook Chook Chook? And I mean, I know it seems that Chick 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 has become your main focus, but is there still Outhood going on, or what's the story there?
No, Outhood broke up years ago, but both bands were started at basically the same, exact same time. You know, Outhood was kind of like more of a dub project, and Chick 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 was more of a funk project, and, you know, we shared members, and it was, you know, they were kind of, we viewed them as like kind of like sister bands, and, you know, there was never any, like, neither one was a side project. They were very, like, left foot, right foot, kind of like
okay,
step forward, you know?
So, sure.
But you know, the you know, Outhead just dissolved in early mid 2000s, and you know, just, we felt like it was better left at that.
Good. Yeah, so just reading up on you guys, it seems like you have some pretty strong draws with a few bands. I know you, if I'm not mistaken, shared some members with LCD Sound System. Is there a relationship you have with James Murphy?
You know, I mean, he's a guy around town you run into, but
sure,
but we've never like worked with him or anything. But yeah, you know, certainly during back in those times, and Tyler was kind of going back and forth between both groups, and Jerry played with both groups, and you know, there was definitely a band we were, you know, that was a part of the scene that we were proud to be associated with.
Absolutely, absolutely, and yeah, I think you guys kind of lend well to each other. And what about also Red Hot Chili Peppers? I know I've read about Anthony Kiedis representing you guys at times, and you know, whether it be merch or whatever, and I know you guys went on tour with them. It almost seems like maybe they kind of took you under for like a tour or something like that.
Yeah, we opened for them on a UK tour years and years back, and it was kind of like a, yeah, I think Frusciante had actually seen us, and he, you know, called Kiedis and was like, these guys have to open for us, you know.
How cool is that?
So they brought us out, and yeah, it was cool. It was a really exciting experience to, you know, kind of like to open for them, and kind of like, you know, I mean, it's exciting to play for, you know, 40,000 people, but you're playing for basically 40,000 people who don't give a fuck about you. So it's kind of like, but that was an exciting challenge.
Sure.
Try to make those 40,000 people give a fuck, you know.
Right.
I felt it was very much like a Karate Kid experience. Like, you know, it made us stronger.
I like that comparison. That's funny. So actually talk about that. You just mentioned playing for 40,000 people. That's something, you know, being a musician, I've played shows, but never on that scale. I can't really wrap my head around that. It sounds like you already kind of referenced it. What do you prefer, the bigger thing or the smaller, more intimate venue?
I mean, honestly, I would recommend to anyone seeing us that it's better to see us in a small club. But at the same time, I know that, you know, I know what we can do with a big crowd, and there's certainly like something like with a festival energy that we can really like rile up in a crowd that other bands can't get. You know, I think I've seen a lot of really great bands try to make that transition onto a festival stage, and they can't do it. You know, but I think that, you know, I think that the kind of music that we play, works well for an audience who isn't familiar with us, but, you know, wants to see like an exciting live show. You know, I think dance music works well in that experience, and I think that, you know, our kind of like raw sonic, you know, punk energy works well there too. So I think we work well on either one, and I would be really sad to have to give one of those up. If you were to tell me you can only play small clubs or you can only play big festivals,
sure.
If one of those was ruled out, I would be disappointed, because I think they're both exciting to rock.
Yeah, yeah. So you mentioned earlier, Jerry, and you're going to have to help me pronounce his last name. Is it Fuchs?
Fuchs,
got it. Okay, so I know he had untimely passing in, I want to say, 2005 or so. It must have been after that. Maybe it was more 2009?
Yeah, I believe it was then. Yeah. 2009, yeah.
Now, talk about the impact of that. I mean, just tragic. The guy was such a talented drummer. I think he must have been a key component to the band at the time. What was the impact of that?
Well, I mean, he'd actually left the band a few months before that.
Oh, okay.
It's something I've never really gotten comfortable talking about it in interviews, because it's kind of like something, you know, it's like, because in interviews you kind of have a tendency to turn into a bit of a parrot, and so it's kind of,
sure,
like always difficult to speak about something that's like, you know, emotional. But it's at the same time, it's many years past now, but you know, it was something that you try to learn something from those experiences, and there's almost nothing to be learned. You know, all you learn is that it that shit fucking sucks sometimes. You know?
And totally.
That was like what we took away from that. You know, and so
yeah.
it was a tragedy, and that's what tragedy is. You know, so it was you know, a lesson that everyone learns at some point in their lives, you know, and I guess I would have been satisfied to learn that lesson later.
Yeah. You know, I think maybe I'm not trying to speak for that situation at all, but just speaking upon that, you know, losing someone in general, it's holding on to the moments that you have with people. Do you have like a moment with Jerry that kind of stands out to you or anything, or maybe like a favorite show with him or anything like that?
There's so many. I mean, Jerry, he's made for moments. There's so many, but he's one of those guys I can hear his laugh in my head. You know, and
oh, that's nice.
Laughing a lot. He was laughing a lot. You know, so his picture's on my fridge, and I can see it right now. You know, he's laughing in the picture. You know, so that's just how I remember him.
That's good. I'm sure that's what he would want, you know. So, all right, let's move on from Jerry. You know, I don't want to make it a bummer the entire time. But what about, so just on standalone, do you have a favorite show as a band, or in any other side projects of yours or anything?
My favorite show is like always the next one. You know, we try to make every show like, you know, it's like we're really going into it with that aspect of like, you know, if we're playing in like Lincoln, Nebraska, and 10 people showed up, you know, we want to make that the same experience as it is for, you know,
yeah,
when you're at whatever, you know. That's like, it's very corny and very like showbiz, I think, but it's like, I think it's like what's propelled us, you know, and it's like what's got us through those tough times, you know, like when the band, you know, wasn't doing as well or something, you know, it's like trying to give it every time has made us a stronger band, so that when we were back on that stage in front of 10,000 people, that we were a good fucking band, you know. So it's just, you know, to us, it's like, it's still like a journey, and, you know, it's like we feel lucky to, you know, to be six records in and making something that, you know, we feel like is valid and not just like a retread through our past.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I mean, we're pretty proud of that.
Yeah, and be confident in the fact that you are a good fucking band. There's no doubt about that. Now, how many members are there? Because I've seen you at, like, boy, I want to say there was at least six of you on stage. How many are in the band?
Currently, there's five or six.
On any given night.
Yeah, we just did a bunch of shows in Europe with another singer, and
oh, okay,
we were trying to get her to come over with us here, but I'm not sure if she's going to. So it's either five or six.
Okay, now talk about traveling with that many individuals. Are you guys always on good terms all the time, or is there moments where you got to like just, you know, get some alone time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. It's been 19 years of good terms.
That's awesome.
No, I'm joking.
Oh, I was going to say, the odds of that.
No. I think that's you know, it's a family, you know. You're not always on good terms with your family, you know. That's just part of it, you know, but you know, I think when it kind of helps that it is like a big group, cuz it's like if someone's annoying you, it's easy to avoid them, you know. It's like there's, you know, five other people in the way or whatever, you know. And it certainly was easier to avoid them when there was eight people.
Sure.
But you know, no, generally it's like, you know, this band was started for fun and it's remained fun, you know? So like that's what keeps it able. Like, no, we're not always on good terms, but you know, if we're not on good terms, we're going to be on good terms in like, you know, by the next day.
Right. Right.
It remains fun, you know?
That's great. Glad to hear it. I'll start to wrap it up here. And any pre-show rituals or anything you guys like to do?
I do a little child's pose and downward dog and cobra and
some
that
yoga
kind of stuff, you know. It's basically like, you know, I always say, if we're walking on stage and we're basically telling jokes backstage, then it's going to be a good show. Like that's honestly like generally, you know, the ritual. We're just hanging out back there and, you know, saunter on and do our thing, and if the vibes are good, then you know we're gonna have a good show. So you know, the backstage ritual is just to hang out, you know.
Good. Yeah. Well, again, it's Chick 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 coming to the Lincoln Hall on November 21st. Get your tickets while you can. It's going to be a great show. I know it. You can find them at Chick 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 on Twitter. That's CHKCHKCHK. Best name ever. Love it, by the way. Nick, appreciate you joining me today. Really looking forward to coming to see you guys on the 21st.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter at SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram at SoundSessionsWGN.